This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, will voters in Illinois get the chance to recall elected officials? We'll have a story coming up on the passage of a bill in the House that would allow that and what its future may be in the state Senate. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, today's news. In a reversal from the last 2 years, backers of advisory referenda were mostly unsuccessful in using the annual town meetings in Champaign and Urbana to get those measures on the ballot. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
In Champaign, voters will see a so-called transparency referendum in November, calling for city and township governments to post contracts and itemized expenses on their websites for public inspection. U of I graduate student and Republican precinct committeeman Scott Schmucker proposed the question.
This is just a matter of making sure that people are well aware of where the money is going, both for their own peace of mind and also so that they can potentially come up with ways to reduce that expense.
But that was the only victory last night for referendum backers who attended town meetings in Champaign and Urbana. Two other referenda proposed in Champaign, and all three proposed in Urbana, were defeated. This year's meetings attracted more referendum opponents, and those who supported some referenda while opposing others. That last group included Champaign City Councilwoman Marcy Dodds, who says it's all part of the democratic process.
And I think that the first 2 years, the people who were organized had a free pass, and then finally people had come along saying, no, I have things I want to say too.
The non-binding referenda that were rejected at last night's town meetings supported an anti-torture bill in Congress, instant runoff voting in Urbana, and a study of city ownership of the water company. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
An alderman in Danville says passing an amended budget plan next week won't make things any easier for future budget negotiations. Steve Foster had favored eliminating 9 firefighter positions that were restored amid public concerns. He says while the fire department does a good job, he says the amount of coverage generally isn't needed. Mayor Scott Eisenhower's new proposed cuts in order to avoid a more than $300,000 shortfall include a lot of travel and training expenses for both the fire and police departments. Foster says raises and pensions for the fire department will only increase next year, and he says a lack of state funds resulting from a declining city population is at the root of the problem.
In particular, you have to look at the personnel, you know, in the departments that have the largest expenses, and the police and fire are those. It's a problem that faces a lot of little cities, and some of them have tried to do something about it, and sooner or later, we're going to have to do something.
Foster says Danville's population has dropped below 30,000 since the 2000 census, and the loss of manufacturing jobs has a lot to do with it. Mayor Eisenhower has agreed with Foster, saying the proposed cuts represent nothing more than a Band-Aid. The city council is expected to vote on the mayor's proposed budget cuts April 15th. Republican Frank Calabrese of Champaign says he'll be an advocate for the University of Illinois if he's elected to the Illinois House. Currently, Calabrese is a U of I junior majoring in history and serving on the student senate. Champaign County Republican Chairman Jason Berrickman says that connection would give Calabrese a special advantage in the 103rd House District, which includes the U of I campus.
Well, the number one strength is his ability to connect with students. And certainly he can bring the perspective of a student to a legislative district that represents predominantly students.
Calabrese filed papers this week. He's been slated by county Republicans as their candidate in the House district. Berrickman says Calabrese faces an uphill battle because the district was drawn to favor Democrats. Since district lines are redrawn, it's been represented by Democrat Naomi Jacobson, who is running for a fourth term this year. Indiana Secretary of State Todd Rokita has decided not to run for state attorney general. Rokita had considered seeking the post since Republican Attorney General Steve Carter recently announced he would not run for a third four-year term. The major parties select their nominees for attorney general at the summer state conventions in Indiana. Rokita says he's supporting Valparaiso Mayor John Costas for the job. He says he is interested in running. The Illinois High School Association has agreed to allow newspapers to sell photos at its events. As Amanda Vinicky reports, that puts an end to a dispute.
The IHSA organizes statewide high school sports tournaments. Last year, it signed an exclusive contract with the Wisconsin photo firm to sell pictures of those events and forbid newspapers from selling pictures taken by their photographers. The IHSA denied access to photojournalists who refused. That prompted the Illinois Press Association to sue and the legislature to intervene. The Press Association's Dave Bennett says as more lawmakers took the media side, the IHSA was more willing to compromise.
Newspapers have believed from the very beginning, going back to last summer to now, that it owns its own products. It should be allowed to control its own product. It has a constitutional right to be able to control its own product.
A judge will enforce the agreement in which the IHSA must give photojournalists complete access at high school sports events. The organization's director didn't return a call for comment. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Five teenagers accused of throwing items off bridges over Interstate 74 in the Mahomet area now face charges in two counties. Four of the teens have been charged as adults. Champaign and Piatt County state's attorneys say the five were responsible for throwing water balloons and other items, damaging two vehicles. No one was hurt in the incidents. Signs have gone up on fire and police stations across Illinois, letting parents know they can give them up and give up their newborn babies without fear of prosecution. The point of the 7-year-old Illinois law is to prevent newborns from being abandoned in places where their lives are in danger. Crystal Bergfield of the Save Abandoned Babies Foundation says now that firefighters and police have been trained on how to respond when somebody leaves a baby on their premises, it's time to spread the word to those at risk of abandoning a newborn in a crisis.
It's about getting word out by talking. If somebody sees the sign, you know, tell your friends about it. This is an option just so we get the word out there. But hopefully soon we'll be able to go into high schools, and if we have enough volunteers, to just get the awareness out there by speaking in high schools or in women's shelters or even the colleges.
Bergfield says 41 babies up to a week old have been left off at so-called safe havens since the law took effect in Illinois in 2001. But at the same time, 49 newborns were abandoned elsewhere, and only half of them survived. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Illinois House sent a message to the governor yesterday approving a measure that would allow voters to recall elected state officials. While it remains a long shot to ever take effect, it's further evidence of the strained working relationship among lawmakers and the administration. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford reports.
Rod Blagojevich has become the poster child for recall in Illinois. Polls show his popularity plummeting while his war with the House Speaker rages on. Blagojevich has few friends on either side of the aisle in the Illinois House, with a fellow Democrat, Woodstock Representative Jack Franks, sponsoring the recall amendment. Franks says Illinois' long history of political corruption shows why the option is needed.
The citizens need a way to take back their government. If any state needs to give voters a power to recall, it's Illinois.
Under the plan, it would take about 400,000 signed petitions to get a recall question on the ballot. Frank says that's a significant threshold and would only be used in extreme cases. 18 other states have recall, but only two governors have ever been booted from office using the method. Still, others are unsure about what they view as a drastic change. House Democrat Barbara Flynn Curry says those with political motives could abuse recall, and she says it's too vague.
This recall amendment requires nothing, no statement of fault, no list of improprieties. It's enough to recall if you don't like the way the governor blow-dries his hair, or you don't like the cut of the attorney general's pantsuits.
As of now, the only way to end an elected Illinois official's term early is to impeach them. That requires some sort of malfeasance or failure to carry out duties as a basis. Incompetence or political squabbling won't qualify. Governor Blagojevich has failed to get along with most members of the Illinois House, and the feud with Speaker Mike Madigan helped send the legislature into a record overtime session last summer. The hard feelings remain, and a repeat of 2007 is within the realm of possibility this year. However, Madigan voted against allowing recall. His spokesman says Madigan feels it was discussed thoroughly and voted down during the last constitutional convention. While Madigan won't be confused with a Blagojevich ally, the governor still has some of those. Jay Hoffman is a Collinsville Democrat.
Don't do this so you can send out a press release. Don't do this because someone's telling you you have to vote this way or you could face trouble at the ballot box. Don't do this because you don't like one man.
Blagojevich's strongest relationship under the Capitol dome is with Illinois Senate President Emil Jones, who is unlikely to allow the recall measure to reach the floor in that chamber. But supporters of recall say they will try to force Jones' hand. Again, Representative Jack Franks.
This fundamentally comes down to whether we believe in the people's right of self-governance, or whether we believe this is just as good as government gets.
If the entire legislature approved the idea before early next month, the recall concept could show up on the ballot this November. Voters would then have to agree to include the change in the state's constitution before there could be attempts to use it. It's rare for lawmakers to back a plan that could at some point be used against them. And if recall was an option, voters might take a throw-the-bums-out mentality against all at the statehouse. Lawmakers want to stay in office, and any threat to their job security is usually rejected outright. But the House's support of recall could be seen as an indicator of just how bad the situation in Illinois state government has become. I'm Sean Crawford.
Expect some heavy rainfall in some parts of Illinois and Indiana over the next couple of days, and flash flood watches have been put up for all of northern and central Illinois and portions of northwest Indiana. They go into effect tonight or tomorrow morning and expire by Friday afternoon. The forecast for today in Illinois and in western Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. In eastern Indiana, cloudy with a few lingering showers, then becoming partly sunny. The highs from 48 in northwest Illinois to 66 in southeast Indiana. For tonight, in the south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy, with showers and storms arriving after midnight. The lows from 35 in northwest Illinois to 58 in southern Indiana. In Champaign-Urbana, the low tonight 46 after a high today of around 60. For tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms scattered about the two-state area. Heavy rainfall is likely in spots. Highs will range from 45 in northwest Illinois tomorrow to 75 in far southern Illinois. The high of around 60 in Champaign-Urbana, with winds from the southeast at 20 to 30 miles an hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.